Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony coexist. The Spa and Spa Life, the SPA, is for seek power always, that power within you to do your deeper work in the world. I am so excited to have our next guest on the show, Jared Yellen, who is the CEO and co-founder of 10X Incubator with Grant Cardone. He is a non-techie tech co-founder of dozens of companies. Jared brings an extremely unique perspective to launching tech companies that cash flow and scale rapidly. With his ability to build a team, create a culture of excellence, and lead a movement to fellow tech companies co-founders, he's become most known for his commitment to successfully launch 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So excited to be here. Your energy is freaking contagious. I'm ready to deliver. So ask me anything that'll serve you and your wonderful community.
Well, thanks so much, Jared. I want to start off with, how do you consciously create the life that you want to live?
Yeah. So when I was 20 years old, I had this realization, which was, I'm going to eventually be a dad. And I don't think many 20-year-old young men think that way, but I did. And the reason I was thinking that way is I was reflecting on my childhood. My parents went through a very intense divorce when I was young. I'm sure there was worse divorces than theirs, but it was trying. If somebody were to ask me, what's one word to describe your childhood? I would have said loud, because there was just nowhere to go for peace and serenity. So when I was 20 and I was thinking about the fact that eventually I'm going to be a dad, I started to define my non-negotiables. And I'm like, well, what does it even mean for me to be a dad? Because I want to make sure that my kids have a life that's very different than the one that I experienced. And the word freedom showed up for me. And I remember when I said it the first time or thought of it the first time, I got like the goosebumps. It was like one of those feelings. And I'm like, well, what is freedom? And I started to define freedom in all of these categories. And this is what has led me to this empowered life. And it was from health to my relationships, to my finances, to my geography. And it was 12 different categories of freedom. And I thought to myself, I don't know anyone that has that. Like, there's like no one that I know that has that, like how I would define freedom, which is what I'd encourage every one of you that are watching and listening to this, is to have a clear definition of what you would say is freedom. So I realized the only path to get what you want when you don't know anyone else that has it is to be an entrepreneur, and not just any entrepreneur, an integrated entrepreneur with non-negotiables. I think the word grind has unfortunately become like this standard in the space of entrepreneurship, and I just stand against it. I mean, I wake up really early every day because I like to work out when it's still dark out, and I also like to get home with my kids so that I can ensure that we have meals together and I put them to bed every single night. That's how I live this empowered life, is I have non-negotiables. I don't negotiate against myself ever. I have rhythms and rituals. I let the rhythms and rituals always win, and I've defined freedom. And that is what allowed me to have what I have.
I love that so much, because you do hear the word grind, you know, all the time, and it happens at the expense of people's health and relationships, right? Which is why you say you want what you want. And I love that you talk about freedom. You know, right now it's a crazy time. There's a lot of noise out there, and there's a lot of external things where people are talking about either not standing up for their freedom or freedoms being taken away. How do you separate that noise of what's happening out there to really stand with what you stand for and claiming that freedom for yourself?
Because I don't care what anyone thinks. And I think this is the thing that is really impacting so many people at this point, when they have to make such critical decisions for themselves and their families. I only care about what I think around my decisions and how that impacts the people closest to me. I don't ever do anything to bring anyone else down. There's like this whole concept in entrepreneurship that if you want to build the biggest building in your industry or in the world, there's only two ways to do it. You tear other buildings down, or you just build the biggest building. So every decision I make is just to build my own building and to up-level others in the process, but I genuinely don't care what anyone else thinks. And I know that so many of you right now do. And every time that you care about what someone else thinks, you stop caring about the one person that matters, which is you. And listen, I don't care what your decisions are politically. I don't care what your decisions are with vaccines or not vaccines or masks or not masks. Like, you make that call, but make sure that you're the one making that call, that you're not being influenced from outside sources or media. Like, you're making your decisions. That's how I stay at peace. I genuinely don't care what anyone else thinks about what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's so important to know what you stand for and that you make that decision, right? I love that distinction because it doesn't matter what it is, but that you're the one that's actually making it. And that is definitely the definition around freedom. What about fear? How does fear come into play with either your decision-making or anything that kind of throws you off track?
Yeah. So in April of 2020, I realized that my main company at that time is called Cinduit, and I still own Cinduit, but I realized that I'm officially obsolete at this company, which should be every entrepreneur's dream is to get to that point. And when I realized that, I wanted to give people an opportunity to do something that they were still lit up about. And that was some of my existing team. I gave them meaningful equity and I said, the show is yours. Run this thing. I'm here if you need me, but learn not to need me. And they've done an exceptional job. And as I realized that I had this bandwidth that I haven't had in a decade, I started thinking about like, well, what does someone like me do with bandwidth? I was 35 at the time. I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, happily married. Our life is pretty set because this company has produced really a wonderful quality of life. And I'm like, this is my moonshot time. Like, this is the time to do something that just shakes the world up or I go down trying. And as I was thinking that way, I realized I'm going to launch 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. Listen, that thought is paralyzing. It's not even like it's just fear. It's like overwhelming. If you get into like the details of that, it's like, well, we can have like 400,000 employees. Like, you think about all the reasons why you can't. So what I do is I don't do that. And I just stay in the space of this is my moonshot. I'm going to bring a team in and the team is going to play their role within the story. And we have one rule at our company. Everyone is 100% personally responsible for the outcome, which is successfully launching 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. If everyone around you takes that level of personal responsibility, fear will be present, but it's fleeting. They're worrying about their details. You're worrying about your details, and none of it becomes paralyzing. I'm a huge team player. Everything I do is focused on bringing the greatest minds, the most integrous minds together to accomplish something really big. And that's how I combat fear, because I have fear every other second. It like shows up and then I make sure that disappears. It shows up and I make sure it disappears, because fear is not a driving force for anyone. And what I've trained myself to now do is when that feeling emerges, I don't define it as fear. I define it as wild enthusiasm. It's just wild enthusiasm. It's like when somebody stands on a stage and they have that feeling inside, like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid to speak. I have that same feeling, but it's just enthusiasm. And if this minute you said to me, Jared, I need you to go on a stage right now in front of 40,000 people with zero prep and speak for 3 hours, that feeling inside would be wild enthusiasm and I would do it.
I love that. I love that definition of what you call something, right? And there's been actually all kinds of, you know, physiological stories that what happens within your body for fear or excitement is actually the same thing. It's just how you label it is how you go with it and what you run with it. And that's that wild enthusiasm. I love that label. So anytime you can switch it up and actually call it the thing that actually drives you and moves you forward is pretty incredible. You talk a lot about yes equals transformation. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I love sales. I love it. I live for it. That wasn't always the case. I used to have this weird connotation with sales. And the last thing that I ever wanted to be viewed at was someone that was selling anything. And I met this man who I was 19 or 20 years old, and he had a very impactful life, both economically and the contribution he's made in the world. And I asked him, what has allowed you to get to where you are? And he said, because I sell and I get people to say yes. And I'm like, that's interesting. But the yes is actually when the transformation takes place. And I have this creed that we preach to our business development team. And what it is that when someone's better off with you than without you in whatever you do, like whether it's selling a mission or a product or a service or anything, if someone's better off with you than without you, it's your moral responsibility to get them to see what you see and say yes. And the opposite holds true as well, that if they're not better with you than without you, then it's your moral responsibility to not have them say yes. So to me, when they say yes, it is just a transformation for them. It's the moment they say yes. You don't need to deliver the product or service yet. It's them committing to the picture that you painted for them, an opportunity for them to trust that you see something in them that they don't see within themselves. So I'm fanatical about salespeople getting that yes when the person is better off with you than without you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it. Now, you talked about how, you know, you defined your household as being loud growing up, right? And there were a lot of things that you maybe wanted to see different. How is it in your household with Kaylee and Riker? What kind of dad are you? And how are things different?
It's the total opposite. Like, my life was like such a roller coaster ride, like economically and with the fighting and the tension. And I'm blessed. I have a wonderful wife, and we are just on the same page with the things that matter most. And it doesn't mean it's always easy, but it does mean that we're on the same page with the things that we value most. And as a result of that, the home is fun and it's inspiring. And we just don't negotiate against our values. We're taking our kids about an hour and 15 minutes each way to a school that aligns with our values. Like, that's how much it matters to us. When COVID hit, we lived in Connecticut, and COVID in Connecticut were not a positive place. Those were two worlds that just did not sit well together. And if you didn't align with the values of Connecticut, there was really no space for your values. So in 5 days, we sold everything and we moved to Naples, Florida. To me, I just have non-negotiables. It goes back to that freedom concept. And that's what our kids experience, is that pure freedom. My wife is an entrepreneur as well, and she created this program during COVID called Emotional Mastery Toolbox. And it's exceptional. It is literally having young people of all ages, because it works whether someone's, our daughter's 5, and she does it, and up to teenagers as well, help them really build the muscle of emotional mastery. And she does this through different journaling exercises and positive affirmations and just different ways of visualizing your ideal outcome. And this is the kind of conversations we have with our 5-year-old and our 2-year-old. And they get it to whatever degree they get it, but it's created a really positive space for growth for them.
Yeah, I am such a big fan of people knowing what their values are and to build their life around that. What are some of your top values as a family?
Right now, like, is key. Like, I think it's a parent's responsibility to make decisions that support themselves and their children's beliefs. And it's why I so stand against these mask mandates in schools, and I'm vocal about it. Like, listen, if you truly believe that that's keeping your child safe, that's one thing. But I don't believe most parents think that. I think they're just giving their power away. We stand against it. Our children have never and will never wear a mask. Like, listen, if you judge me, that's cool. I don't care ever. But what I'm not saying this to you, but to your audience. But what I'm saying is this, is that I think it's so critical that you as a parent, you show up as the leader that you want your freaking child to be. And at this moment, there's a lot of people that are like sheep that are like following each other off the cliff. This is your time, parents. This is your time, whatever that means to you. Like, show up as the leader that you want your child to step into. What I know is this, I don't believe parents want their children to become the followers. They want them to lead, but how can they lead if they don't see that within you? That's key. The second part of it is health. So we live as close to a fully organic life as you can in our house, 100%, but outside of it to the best of our ability. So as a result, it's kind of like funny, we'll go to Whole Foods and my daughter and son always come with me. It's like our weekend excursion. And my daughter's running around picking up things. She's like, Daddy, does this have any food dye? Daddy, is this organic? And the store like always cracks up, but she knows. And when she goes to places like where we're not there and we can't control that environment, she doesn't do it. And she's proud of it. Like, she's so proud of the fact that she's fueling her body with the nutrients to help her have energy and to think clearly. And that's a key piece. And the third thing is, my wife grew up, and I don't necessarily know if this was her parents that said this, but for whatever reason, she felt that if you immerse yourself in personal development, you're doing it because there's something wrong with you. And as a result, she used to like read books under the blankets because she didn't want anyone to think there was anything wrong with her. And then she met me and I just like preach this and teach this. And she's like, oh my gosh, that means everything's right with you because you want to learn about things that you don't realize. So this is at the foundation of our home. We have personal development things taking place all the time, and they're just going to learn through osmosis. So listen, number one, be the leader that you want your child to be. And right now, parents, it's your time. Step up. Don't just follow what the media is telling you or the government's telling you. Figure out what's right for you and your family, and that's what you need to do. Number two, healthy lifestyle. Put good, nutritious food into your child's body. I mean, I see parents all the time giving these like artificial things. I'm like, oh, this is going to create so many issues in the future. Like it's just so key that they start this early. It's all they're going to know. And then three, make sure that through osmosis that they're experiencing personal development.
I love this so much. And I love how things tie in with you, right? This whole thing around freedom, right? This all is under the umbrella of freedom of there's the word, but then how are you acting your life? Like, what is it that you're doing for that? And I so appreciate you talking about people, you know, making decisions for themselves to just blindly just follow things without even looking at like, okay, is it okay for my kid to be breathing in CO2 all day while at school for 8 hours that brings oxygen taking away from their brain? I mean, it's like, how are we looking at this to the logical end that impacts your own child, right? And there's so many like just overall blanket statements that people aren't taking the moment to go, okay, how's this going to long-term affect the education of my child, the social connection of my child, and, you know, the food. Oh, I mean, we could talk for hours on the whole thing around food and having, you know, nutrition around that. And it's so important. And I can see how this alignment works with you and being on the same page with your wife with that is so key as well, is that you guys are building these healthy, happy children, right? And this is our future, right? Our children are our future, to be able to have that. So I love hearing, I think it's great for our audience to hear, what are some of those decision-making things that happened before? Like when you define what your values are, right? And the non-negotiables you talk about, decisions are easy, right? Because they're based on that. Like, okay, we're making decisions because this is who we are as a family and this is what we stand for. And one of the things I always love to ask my guests here on the show, because I believe that the environments that we create, it affects our life. So we have different experiences in our bedroom versus our kitchen or our office. So what's your favorite room in your home and why?
Yes. One thing you said before, I think is so important. So one of the reasons I think most people don't progress personally or professionally is like, they don't just like second guess themselves. They like 19 guess themselves. And the reason for that is they're not clear on their values. So as a result, it makes decision-making like impossible. Whereas for me, I don't even second guess myself. So like for the everyday person who's taking like 19 guesses to make one decision, I've made 19 decisions. So like when Connecticut locked down and started to enforce things on families and started taking rights away from parents, we literally sold everything within 48 hours and moved to Naples, Florida within 3 days from that. And this is not a Jared show, right? I'm just sharing like how firm we are on our non-negotiables. And I would invite you to do the same. In my home, I absolutely love our kitchen. And the reason is we do a lot of things together as a family. Like I said, healthy food is something that's critical for all of us. And we prepare foods together. Our kids are participating in it. They chop things up. They make juice with me every day when I'm making my juices. They're excited about it. So they drink it as a result. So we just bring them into the experience and we have so many special memories. We got them little chef outfits and they always get their little chef hat on and their apron on. So these are like memories I will never forget. And I want them to do this with when they're like in their 20s, still coming back to the kitchen with me. But hopefully then they're bringing their kiddos as well. So it's just one big joyous experience.
I love that. I love that. And it shows clearly that you invest in relationships. And you've talked before about marketing with no money. And I'd love you to expand a little bit around that and around having strategic alliances and the importance of relationships.
So Sinduit's a really good example. Sinduit's a SaaS product, software as a service. Specifically, it's what we call the simplest marketing software in the world that's pre-populated with content for every major industry. So our end user, the John and Jane Doe's across 30 industries. And I'm really not a fan of Mark Zuckerberg at all. So I always thought to myself, I don't want to pay him to get a user. I'd rather form strategic alliances with people that I know, like, and trust and create win-win outcomes. And it's not just like affiliate marketing, because like that's great. To me, it's mission-driven marketing. I want to understand what they want to accomplish, they being someone that has influence over the audience that I want to gain access to. And I want to help them get there faster. Like the commission is like, that's nice. Like that's like the cherry on top. But like, what do you want to accomplish that you haven't been able to yet? And is there a way that when we work together, we can get you to where you want to get to faster? As a consequence, I get to where I want to get to faster. And oh, by the way, here's a few bucks. I want to say thank you as well. So that's just what I've always done. And I've built this relationship capital tree over the past 15 plus years of being an entrepreneur. And I work it every day. And I mean, every day, like even like on the honeymoon days, like I spent like 15 minutes every day when my wife, or at the time, my new wife was like sleeping, to maintain this discipline, which was just scrolling through my phone, scrolling through different social platforms to see what names are popping up, because the universe is never confused. Like, and if the same John Doe pops up like three consecutive days in 1 week, the universe is saying that you better ping John Doe. Jay Abraham is a good friend of mine who's a master of direct response marketing. And his daughter's been a great friend as well. She's like a technologist. Her name is Michelle. She calls it the universal ping. So like when you're doing your relationship capital mining, you're just scrolling through relationships just to see who pops up, the universe will ping you. And out of nowhere, it's like, oh, you haven't spoken with Bob in a while. You should reach out. And you reach out to Bob and they're like, I was just thinking about you. And like this like beautiful synergy is formed. But it's a discipline every day, 15 minutes. And I've never, ever missed that discipline. The same way I don't miss working out or drinking good juices or having certain types of protein or putting my kids to sleep and preparing healthy foods as a family. It's just another discipline that when you do it, it just creates such massive acceleration. Cinduit has never, until I stepped away, now they do a little bit to offset me, never spent $1 on Facebook ads. And we got over 40,000 paying users. They now do it because I'm not involved. They need to do something to augment that. But we literally went from nothing to 40,000 paying users without $1 of ad spend and a ton of money invested into relationship capital.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I got to witness that because our mutual friend, you know, Mike C-Rock, he pinged you and just said like, hey, I just connected with Diane. I think you should connect. And you're just like, rock on, right? Let's do that. Because you trust your connections, right? You connect the people who talk and that there must be a reason for people to connect and how to reach out to each other. And I love that. I mean, that's one of the things I utilized a lot when I was on the police department, especially when I worked undercover, is I had to trust those gut instincts, right? I mean, for me, it was life and death and a lot of those things. But in business, it's the same thing, right? If you don't trust yourself, and then we go back to, hey, what are your values? What are those lines? And what are the things that you're making those decisions on? Right? It makes everything else so much easier when you know what those lines are.
100%. Yeah, I could not agree more. And relationships are everything. So like, that's such a corny cliche concept, but those that have accomplished the most significant impact, interview them, ask them how. They're going to be like, I have the right people in my world. Every one of them. Like if you think about like companies that have gotten bought for significant amount of money or went public and they're ringing the bell at NASDAQ and they get interviewed. They're like, how did you do it? None of them are like, I ran Facebook ads to get here. Like they didn't do that. It was business development. It was relationship capital. It was enterprise level interaction. Like it wasn't like I just spent so much money with Mark Zuckerberg. No one says that, right? So for you, whether you're a really small business owner or a coach or consultant, like it's all relative, but start now. And just create a daily ritual around mining those relationships, scrolling through phones, social platforms, 15 minutes every day, and just let the universe ping you and don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Just reach out when they ping you. And you can even just say, hey, I just thought about you today. What's new? That is authentic. That is real. And just watch what happens as a result of it.
I love that. I love that so much. You know, you talk about yourself being a vision master and a process kind of guy. You know, how do you go about transferring knowledge, right? When you are building a company, especially, you know, with as big a goal as you have, right? You know how to do the certain things that you do and do well. How are you transferring that knowledge to other people?
So for me, like one of the things that I realized is I can operationalize things, but it's energy depleting for me. It's not energy creating. Like I'm really great within the vision and the promotion around that vision. Maybe the best in the world when it's obviously my visions, like it's really clear and I can get anyone to say yes, as long as they're better off with me than without me. But like the operationalizing side, I can do it, but then it takes my energy from what I ultimately should be doing. So I have this wonderful woman on my team. Her name is Katie. She's traveled through everything that I do. And she's that for me. Like she's like my soulmate of business where I can like be me as the vision. I can then bring it to her. And then she's able to operationalize it and divide and conquer. And listen, we're doing something audacious. 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. We have hundreds of people on our team now. Maybe right now you're a team of one. And you're like, well, I don't have a Katie. Listen, you do have a Katie if you start mining your relationships. There's going to be somebody in your relationships that is really good at what you're not, and you're really good at what they're not. And if you could find a way to create a form of a synergy, you will create more together. But that's my secret weapon. I have a Katie. She'll be with me forever, and we will launch 10,000 tech companies together. But it's because I can stay in vision. She knows how to interpret vision, divide and conquer it out, and assign and hold accountable. I think everybody needs a version of that if they're going to do something really big, or even not 10,000 tech companies big, but anything where you just want to stay in your flame. Know your flame and then find somebody else whose flame is not yours and create a freaking bonfire together.
I love that. I love the different flames. That's a fun way to be able to look at that. And, you know, I think that's kind of an interesting perception that people have as an entrepreneur. A lot of times people think of an entrepreneur as that I have to do it myself or build it myself, or I'm the only one who can do it. And that's just a lie, right? It's just, it's not true that anybody who's built anything great, you have to have a team. You have to have other people that, because you're not going to be great at everything. You got to stay, like you said, in your lane and do the things that you need to do. What can you tell our entrepreneurs out there listening who feel like they have to do it all themselves?
You're going to get nowhere. And I mean that. So like I'm a non-tech founder and Cinduit was my first tech company. And I was kind of on my own, and then I ended up building an agency. So I had a big team, but then I decided it was time to pivot the agency into tech. So I still had a team, but they were running the agency. So I was kind of like this solo founder of a tech company. And then I outsourced development to a software development firm out of Boston. And I self-funded the first version of our product. And it cost me 2 years and $2 million. And I had to scrap it and start over because I was a lone ranger. I couldn't see what I couldn't see. You have to build team. You have to build accountability and structure around you. And if you believe that you're in control by being the one person that does everything, I can't express to you how out of control you actually are, because you're just scratching the surface of things. You can't go deep into anything. So one of the things that I talk often about is don't allow being burned in the past to impact you being burned in the future, because the next burn might be that fire that's going to light your world up. And that's one of the things for me is, like, I've had tons of people, quote unquote, like burn me. And I show up every day as if I've never been burned, because I don't know if that next burn is going to be the one that lights my fire. But for all you solopreneurs out there, I can't emphasize enough how critical it is you start to build your own team. Figure out a way. Maybe initially you get an intern to work with you and you don't even pay them, but you give them really good mentorship, but you give them meaningful responsibility. You give them a path for growth. Maybe as a result of their involvement, you're able to make an extra $40,000. And instead of taking that money for yourself, you hire one or two people to join full-time, and you start to slowly build this infrastructure around you so that you can stay in your flame. I mean, that is the key. Otherwise, it's going to be a burn. It's going to be a slog fest. And you're not going to have the kind of joy that I believe entrepreneurship is supposed to provide. Pure freedom.
Love it. Love it. So good. You know, you also talk about two different paths that people can take. And I'd love for you to kind of explain a little bit more about taking the path of easy, hard versus hard, easy.
Yeah. So I remember when I had this realization of a decision I had to make, which was Cinduit was a marketing agency. And it started that way because that's what I could actually do. I can write marketing copy and I can sell. I couldn't build this tech product. So I got two pretty high profile clients to give me a shot in 2011, and I became their copywriter. And I performed really well. We did a deal where I'd get 30% of any new business that I produced, and I made them millions of dollars. I even surprised myself to some degree. So I did really well financially, but more than the money, they just told everybody about me. And within 14 months, I had 400 clients, and we built this big digital agency. We were working with all different thought leaders across all different industries and a big team, big office. And this was a really good business. Like, from anyone's standards, maybe it was great, but it wasn't epic. And for me, I'm like, I'm willing to give up good for the potential of epic, which was building this tech product. But that was hard, easy versus easy, hard. It was a lot easier to just stay the path, stay within the space of the known, like keep on keeping on as an agency. That was going to be a lot easier than this pivot. But later on in life, it may have gotten really difficult. I mean, the agency space is cutthroat. There's not often a lot of loyalty. People tend to want to dabble with different skills and abilities. And it's kind of like this like perpetual cycle of losing and gaining, losing and gaining. And I find that it's really hard to build like meaningful velocity for an exit, like to have something real. And there have been scenarios, but not many. So to me, easy, hard would have been just to stay the course. It was predictable. It was known, but it would have gotten progressively more difficult later on in life versus hard and then easy. And hard was this radical pivot, investing millions of dollars, almost losing it all, to now create a much easier life later on. The perfect example for this is when people have to make a health decision. And that health decision is to go to the gym. It's a lot easier to hit the snooze button. But later on in life, it gets much more difficult when you can't use your body and you start aging prematurely, versus hard, easy is to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever time that you say, and go to the gym. It seems so much harder, but when you're like my grandma who turns 90 in a month, she plays 3 hours of tennis every day still, right? She did the hard to easy, which is now allowing her to have so much vitality later on in life. You have to make a call. And listen, it's black or white. Like, every decision you make in life is either going to be an easy to hard path or a hard to easy path. You just need to choose when you want your hard.
Oh, that just makes it so much easier, no pun intended, right? To know, like, hey, what path do I want to do? And I want to do what it takes now, right? To build it so that it actually becomes easier in the future. And I love using the health analogy, because that's one of the things that is so crazy right now, is that people are making choices that aren't great for their health, not looking to see what's your health going to be like in 10, 20, 30 years from now, right? It all has a ripple effect, and it all comes into play at some point. So one of the things too, is you had a very thought-provoking Instagram video recently where you talked about, are you falling short? And you talked about intentionality. And I think that's an important message for people to hear about. Can you share more about that?
Years ago, I was in this terrible relationship. And I was like, how did I end up here? Like, I'm so clear on what I want. And I was probably 23, 24 years old. I'm like, how did I get here? And I said this quote to myself, which was, every action requires an intention, because an action without an intention leads to a result without an achievement. And results are by chance and achievements are by choice. There's many people that will do things, but it's unintentional. And they're like, well, I got the outcome I want. That's a result. It's not an achievement. It's not replicatable. You can do the same thing again and get a completely different result. Whereas an achievement is something that you never lose. And it's because you were intentional from the start. I just believe so many, not even just business owners, like people in life, they don't attach clear intent to the actions that they're taking. And they're like, why am I falling short? Like, why am I not building enough velocity? Well, there's no intention attached to your action. They're just like acting there, acting there, acting there. And it's like this like constant array of actions. But if you were to attach a clearly defined intention, the outcome you're causing, you're non-negotiable, you're plan A, and there is no plan B because it just distracts you from your plan A. You were that clear on the intent. Doesn't mean you're just going to automatically get there. But when you get there, you're going to know exactly what you did to get there so you can get there again. So that's what we do. Like, we are so process-driven as a company. Like, we've created a linear path now for somebody that has like a napkin like this with like a tech idea written on it, like to go from there to a tech exit. Like, it's a linear path to follow because we're so intentional with the actions we take to produce the achievement, and the achievement is the exit. We just now need to follow that track to get there. So for any of you that feel like not making progress, or you are, but you can't replicate it, take one second, not years, not months, not days, not even hours, like 1 second to be like, what is my intention? Like, what am I looking to create? What's the outcome I'm going to cause? And that second or minute, for that matter, will get you to the achievement, not the result. And there's a distinction. That's not semantics. Results are by chance. Achievements are by choice.
Love that distinction. So great. So, Jared, what is one project that you're working on that fuels you the most?
Yeah. So, I mean, 10,000 tech companies in 10 years really fuels me. But we have this initiative called Young Entrepreneur Movement. And this just lights my world up, because I believe that it's never too early or too late to become a tech entrepreneur. And young doesn't necessarily mean age. It just means that you might be a young entrepreneur, like you haven't been an entrepreneur before. And that's what this initiative does, is it actually teaches young entrepreneurs, whether they are 17 or 77, how to step into tech. It's a curriculum they go through that helps them refine their idea. And then at the end of the curriculum, they can pitch our team. And if they're the right person with the right idea in the right market and the right business model, we give them a shot. And it's worked. We have a few teenage co-founders at this point. A 17-year-old is our youngest. And we have a 77-year-old co-founder too. Both are young entrepreneurs because they haven't been entrepreneurs before. So it really lights me up. These are everyday beautiful people that never in a million years would have an opportunity like this. Like, Silicon Valley would be like, you don't have the right resume, you don't have the right track record, you don't know the right people, you're not for us. And I'm like, but you're for us. Like, we're giving everyday people an opportunity to become successful tech entrepreneurs and just democratize the entire tech industry. The tech industry is cruel. I mean, people that go down that route, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. They just don't come back alive, not literally dead, but like their vision is dead. Their idea is dead because it was expensive. It was emotionally draining. It was just like riddled with lack of transparency. And I wanted to create a different space because that was my experience. 2 years, $2 million, didn't scrap it, start over, live to tell the story, built the infrastructure for others to do this as well. We've created a safe space. So what lights my fire is 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. In addition, it's young entrepreneurs, giving them a chance, whether they're 17 or 77, to have their idea become a company that we can build, scale, and then sell in the future when the time is right.
I love it. Oh, so good. Well, I know that, you know, our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they best do that?
Yeah, I would head over to jaredyellin.com, jaredyellin.com. And everything I'm up to is there. I post a ton of content, from blogs to social, or coming out with some really cool initiatives to just challenge and motivate people to get clear on their achievement and then execute on it. And if you have an idea, like you're like, oh my goodness, like I have a tech idea. No one takes me seriously. I don't even take myself seriously, but maybe Jared and his team would head over to 10X, like the number 10X and then incubator.com and click submit your idea. We love to entertain. Listen, we are giving everyday people and also people that have a track record an opportunity to co-found tech companies with Grant Cardone, myself, and our entire 10X incubator team. This is just shaking up the tech industry. Everyone is meant to be a tech entrepreneur. You don't need to be technical to be a tech entrepreneur. You have to know there's an inefficiency. You have to think of a really powerful solution and have the courage to reach out, because that's what we're looking for. 10,000 tech companies in 10 years. So jaredyellen.com or 10xincubator.com.
So powerful. You know, Jared, our theme for this year are people who are being a force for good. So how are you being a force for good in the world?
So our young entrepreneur movement is really that. So there's not an economic reason for us doing this. The reason why we're doing this, and we have some really cool sponsorship around this and successful entrepreneurs as well, is that it's a $97 lifetime access for the young person that's in the program. And 100% of the money goes into a fund to fund all their ideas in the first place. We are a force for good by giving young as an age or young as an experience a chance to launch tech companies, and tech companies offer limitless impact from a financial perspective and a contribution perspective as well. So yeah, I'm fanatical about it. We'll have 10,000 people that do this with us, and they'll create a whole new level of freedom for themselves and for everyone they can touch as well.
Great. So great. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I love this. I love what you stand for. I love the questioning around empowerment. I feel like you've blended these two worlds together of personal development and tactical and practical so well. So kudos to you and everything you're doing. I want to be a resource for you and for your community. And my greatest piece of advice for every one of you is don't let your greatest idea go to the graveyard with you. Unfortunately, that's where the majority of potential exists. People that were too afraid to speak or too afraid to share, too afraid because they didn't know where to go next. Like, that idea that's inside is meant to come out. And that's why we've created a safe space for you to share your ideas. But don't let it die with you. Please, you never know if your idea is the one that's going to radically change the world. And I believe it is. So you need to believe that it is. And find the right team or head over to 10xincubator.com and submit that idea so we can bring it to life together.
I love it. Well, thank you, Jared, so much for your wisdom, for taking your time today. I love your fire and inspiration and what you're doing, especially for young entrepreneurs and young people who, you have these great ideas, but don't have anywhere to go. And the fact that you've built that structure for that and that you live a life by example. I love that you're clear about your values and about what you stand for with your family to the extent that you take action on it, right? You moved. It's like, you know what? This is not in alignment with us. We're out of here. Like, more people who say that they want freedom in their life to actually take the actions and be in integrity to stand with that. I really respect that. And I so appreciate everything that you're doing in the world.
Awesome. Thank you. The sentiment is mutual. Appreciate you.
You got it. And to our listeners out there, wow, you need to share this video and get it out there. If it's you who have this idea or someone you know who has this brilliant idea that they've been hiding away and not sharing with anyone, make sure that you share the 10X dream and get them on an incubator and share this. Get this out there. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. And if you have any questions, right, make sure you put in whatever platform that you're on, put in the comments any questions you have. Make sure that you tag both Jared and myself. We're happy to answer any questions, get you the resources, build those relationships, and get the word out there. So until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Your host and spa life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.